Amen. Isn't it good to be a Christian? You know, you go through life and you go through a lot. And each of us face different aspects of life, different, we have different goals maybe, different issues, health, personalities, all kinds of things that are different. Just a few quick notes on the memorial service yesterday. And again, I echo, isn't it good to be a Christian? And it's good to know that your loved ones are Christians. Amen. That we can be heavy-hearted, yet rejoice at the same time. And that's something the world cannot comprehend because of lack of the Holy Spirit in their lives, because of lack of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I thank Him so much. I was standing back there this morning and looking at the congregation and seeing the faces and feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it was overwhelming to me that I need this, that I want this, I appreciate this, and I'm thankful that God allows me to be a part of this, and I'm not limiting it to the walls here. I'm talking about the body of Jesus Christ, the hope that we can have that the world cannot give us. So I wrote down when we was going through the service and we talk such, I've been to pretend funerals where they pretend everything is okay when we know that it's not. But yet we still try to go through the motions and paint a pretty picture when we know it was a tragedy. But what was here yesterday was not pretend. I wish the world could comprehend that we are rejoicing over a loved one. Because they went to heaven. They went to heaven. Can we comprehend that? The world cannot. But I'm so thankful that we can. Yeah, there's a void that is going to be there that only God can fill. But we have the hope. Right? We have the hope. Let's see. And was thinking of the word cancer. We hear that so much. People having cancer all around. All of us have been touched with or by someone we care about that has cancer. But I was thinking yesterday during that service, there won't be no cancer there. Everybody agree with that? Yeah, in Revelation, it's talking about that. A new body, man. But the word cancer won't even be there. And that word is bad enough in itself because we know what it represents. And there'll be no need for that word to ever be spoken in heaven. Can you rejoice about that here this morning? Man, I'm thankful for that. So, in starting here, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. But I think back a lot. When we're young and growing up, and you're going through all the peer pressures that you experience at the times, and you're trying, and I'm speaking for myself a lot, but I'm sure it will fall on people in the same sense, the same thought process. Who am I? What am I supposed to be? The world tells us we need to be something. We got to be something. So in doing that, you know, are you going to be, because I grew up in with a lot of uncles that hunted and fished and carried on in such a manner and go spend all night out on the ridge, out on Windy Ridge. I remember going with Dad a lot, but I never remember coming home because I always went to sleep. But I was listening to the foxhounds run. You can go any neighborhood and sit outside and hear a dog bark all night, you know. But they enjoyed that. They loved it. I remember Dad standing there going like this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's old Yeller. He's going across Frank's Run Ridge right now.
You know, I thought, well, that's who I am. That's who I got to be. I got to grow up and like that. I never liked that. I did not like that at all. So, or you grow up, again, speaking for myself, and some will agree, to be an athlete. You know, to fit the pattern, what the world says an athlete is. You know, I wanted to be on Dotson's Exxon softball team because the coaches was on there. And I thought I could fit in with the coaches. I could be like them. And then again, you see people on the TV, movie stars. And I think of the TV so often. I remember, and most of you remember that, and some even beyond before you had electric and before you had cars and stuff like that. But when we got a TV, hey, Rod, go up on the hill, turn that antenna. You know, and it was 17 miles up that hill, wasn't it, Rod? You go up, yeah, and dad or mom, well, usually dad watching the screen, mom at the back door. And if need be, us three kids between there, turn a little more to the right, you know. So, yeah. And I was thinking about that recently. There's 1,000 channels on our TV now. Starts at 1,000, goes to 2,500, I don't know. And you can't find nothing. Nothing. There is nothing on there. But looking at what TV has done, it has infiltrated our minds so bad. I believe it is a tool of Satan. I know there's good on there. Don't misunderstand me. But our culture has been built on the thought process of a writer in Hollywood that this is okay and this is okay, and it's being injected into our children. I see shows all the time saying, this is normal. And our children, did we know any better when we was watching that stuff? And our parents weren't maybe making sure what we're watching? There again, that's where the world's trying to inject who you are. And I still struggle with that in my life today. But I'm learning. I'm learning not to listen to that voice that the world instills in my head all the time. I'm looking at the Word of God. So, I wrote this down, grew up looking and wondering, what am I to do? I never would have imagined, this was not even in the equation of me being up here as this. It was the farthest thing from my mind. I wanted to be this guy, the hunter, or this guy, the athlete, this, the motorcycle racer, this, and that, this, and that, this, and that, and this. Just pulled every direction and failed at every one of them. But I have hope here today to find out, and I want us to find out who we are and what our purpose is. Examples. I was looking all around my family characteristics. I was looking up worldly examples. I was looking at historical figures. You know, we want to be like that guy was back in the day. And in my own head, telling me what I am and telling you what you're not. That's what the world is doing to our youngins. And has done with us that we need to clear our minds. Romans chapter 12 says, renew your mind. All that junk that we have put in. Dave says, junk in, junk out. And all that junk, I think of stuff that I watched and participated in and thought was okay, and now realize that it was the farthest thing from okay. So let's go to Genesis. I'm going to read chapter 3 of verse 19, and then hold that spot because we're going to go over a bit more in chapter 3. If y'all would, let's stand if you're able. to in honor of God's word. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shalt thou return. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you again for the opportunity to get together here. We praise you. We worship you. We know you are creator and master of all things without question. The world spreads lies and different options, but there is no other option but to trust in you and you alone. You have proven yourself beyond compare. We thank you for that. We ask, Lord God, you stir our hearts here today. Be with those in their homes, sick or whatever it might be. Ask for you to be with them. Pray for the couple in New York right now, Lord God, that have injuries. We ask, God, that you just intervene and visit with them right now and heal their bodies. Pray again for those going through trials and heartaches. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. And all this we ask in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. Now, in the sweat of, we was always told in the sweat of your brow, but again, in the sweat of your face. And when I think about that, we go back to when Rod and I was just young men, and, well, we weren't men yet even, thought we might be, but I don't know, I have a driver's license, but we'd go up, Dad'd say, you boys need to go up and help Grandpa Charlie today, and we'd go up there, and he'd take us back on that ridge. Out on Windy Ridge, and them corn rows was, what, 13 miles long, Rod? You know, you just hoe and hoe and hoe. And I thought then about the sweat of my brow. Grandpa Charlie was a hard-working feller. He worked hard. And I think about that right there. But that's not what we wanted to be. We thought we needed to be something else. We thought we needed to be whatever the world told us we needed to be. So I'm going to go back and read, and bear with me, read verses 9 through 24 of chapter 3, and we're going to see the foundation of our humanity, of what we are as physical beings. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And we know this is after they had eaten of the forbidden fruit, and they were disobedient to God. And Adam, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thee, thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that is a direct reference of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 15. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Grandpa Charlie and the corn. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Key verse 19. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, just in discussing that a little bit, we're going to see the results of our disobedience. God is telling us right there who we are. He's telling Jamie Burton who you are. You are nothing but dust. And you're going to live a life of labor. You're going to live a life under control. You're going to live a life without him that is unproductive. Just to talk just for a few minutes about, and the Lord called him, Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden because I was naked. How did they know they were naked? How'd they know they were naked? And if you go back over one about this far, they didn't know they were naked. What happened? They were disobedient to God. And that's why we're where we're at. Now think about what the world does today. How much nakedness there is. How much nakedness they want to portray. How far are TV shows ready to go to push that, wanting it to be okay? Obviously, it's not okay because they hid themselves. So, and then the man said, and his response was, God said, has thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Question. He's asking Jamie or whoever, or in this case, Adam, did you do what I told you not to do? He said, and verse 12, and the man said, the woman gave that to me to be with me, and she gave me of the tree, and I did eat it. What is our first response? Our human nature is when something's going on, it's their fault. It's not my fault. It is their fault. That is who Jamie is, lack of responsibility, lack of being obedient to myself, lack of saying, I did it. No, the first thing I want to do is say, Rodney did it. Love you, Rod. Said in verse, and then what happens? Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent done it. The serpent told me. And we know who is indwelling in the serpent at the time. It's Satan himself. And that serpent is still running around, crawling around, digging around, trying to disrupt your life. That's who we are. That's where we're at. That's what we are as fleshly people, as mortal beings, as physical creatures. That's what we are right now. And going on, said, and the Lord put his curse upon the serpent. And unto the woman, we see what happened there with the birth process, and if from a lady's perspective, you know what you've experienced. From a man's perspective, if you went in, you witnessed the pain and the anguish that is involved in childbirth, unless you're our dad, he dropped our mom off and he went and played ball while mom had Rodney. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But that was the result of doing it the way Satan said to do it. So we're seeing the results in our world, how our physical structures, our physical thought processes from our president all the way down to every other person in this world is affected by, hey, surely you won't die. Satan says, surely you won't die. You'll be smart. You'll know everything. You'll be as a god. That's the physical man that we are. It says, in Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. That is the process of growing our food and the work. God had provided everything they needed up to that point. Here it is. Have at it. Just don't touch that one. And what do? We touch that one. Why? Because somebody was whispering in an ear that was listening instead of shunning. And here we are today, hoeing 13-mile rows of corn. So we can eat and survive in raising cattle. I see the work that my son does raising cattle. Anybody else involved with farm animals or wherever it might be can understand all that goes into raising a cow for market to supply beef and to supply milk. Anybody got thorns, have to mow their yard all the time, got cut brush around their place? You know, that's work. That's toiling. That's by the sweat on your face, as it says in verse 9. And Adam, so we go on from there. It's established what they are, the situation that we're in right now. So Adam calls his wife name Eve because she was the first to bear a child. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. God still provided them. Does not God provide for each and every one of us here today? Now the world says to be self-sufficient, and the richest man in the world and has no relationship with God at all, he thinks he's self-sufficient. But God supplies the food that he eats. God supplies the air that he breathes. God supplies the water that he drinks. God supplies all the needs. And all the money in the world cannot buy that, what God has replaced. So there again, that puts us in our place. Saved or unsaved, we are still reliant on our Creator. That's where we're at. That's who we are right now. If we go on down, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, because they had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and eat and live forever. And we'll touch back on that tree here in just a bit. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove them out and put the cherubims and flaming swords to keep them away from that tree. He could not trust us. He trusted them the first time when he said, don't eat that. You can have all that, everything. Don't touch that. What did we do? We touched that. So now he can't trust them not to touch the tree of life. So he put them out, separated from God. You know, the world is separated from God right now. There's no relationship as Adam and Eve had at creation. And we just studied about creation, the wonderful works in there. We could go all day talking about that. Do you know? I thought of this during the lesson, and when the evolutionists say it just happened, it came from nothing, we don't even understand what nothing is. There again, I realize what's in that. I would say there's nothing in that hole. But we know, scientists shows that there's atoms and molecules and gas bubbles and just all kinds of stuff in that little circle. So we can't even, the smartest person living cannot comprehend nothing. But anyways, so I'm talking about God's structure for each one of us right here. He has set the tone that we'll work, we'll toil for our needs. We'll depend on Him fully and completely as physical beings. God's structure is set. Verse 21 again. I'm going to read that. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. We're fully dependent on God's supplies. From this point on, all births are physical. We know that, right? Everybody that was born was born. Simple words for simple mind. But so to work on that connection with God, when man started reaching out to God, that's when laws, the Ten Commandments came. Yeah, He gave them to us. What happened? We failed them too. So, and as man took control of the laws and started adding to, here we get into God was requiring blood sacrifices to have a relationship with Him. Do you understand what a blood sacrifice is? It's an offering. And who do you think of when you hear about a blood sacrifice? I hope you think about Jesus Christ. Because the blood of bulls and goats was temporary. The blood of Jesus paid it all. The spiritual man. We're going to go from the physical man. We see what he is in a hopeless state. Going to work, going to turn back to dirt, okay? So the spiritual man in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, Nicodemus thinking of a physical birth. And that's what the world will see is another physical birth. But he is referring to that spiritual birth. He said, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? We know that is impossible. Jesus says, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So that again explains where we're at physically without being spiritually born. We have no hope of ever entering the kingdom of God. So we're going to talk about the spiritual man. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that ye must be born again. The world cannot comprehend that statement. I talked to a feller a little bit yesterday about that, about church or whatever, and he said, I believe in the Trinity, but I'm not mainstream, so his religion is right here. His knowledge of God is right here. So he probably, you know, he might even wear the shirt or wear the necklace or wear the bracelet that says, what would Jesus do and stuff like that. But they're missing it by this far. That's the difference between a physical man and a spiritual man. You must be born again. I'm going to go to Philippians 3:18 through 21. 3:18 through 21 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and how you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Do we know some of those? Well, we can't be one of those. Those are the ones that are still in the physical world, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That is the guy that's looking for himself in a physical world, getting his input from people he see, from the TV, from examples that the world all set, from that voice in the head said, "Yeah, you're all right," or, "No, you're worthless, you ain't no good for nothing." But Jesus made a way. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." Isn't that worth a shout, people? To be a spiritually born is to be an heir with Jesus Christ. To have the opportunity to be in the presence. Again, in that hopeless state of physicalness, there is nothing to look forward to. But after the spiritual birth, which we know Patty had experienced, that we can know that she had hope. She went to heaven. I hope you're getting this morning. I hope you understand that we cannot depend on these bodies. We cannot depend on anything this mind conjures up. We can only depend on Jesus Christ and his spoken, written word. I hope you follow that here today. An example of Paul, again, verses 17 through 21. Verse 19, "whose end is destruction, and God in their belly, whose glory is a shame, whose mind on earth." For our conversation, that means your citizenship, folks. Conversation means citizenship. When you have become born again, you're not a citizen of this earth. Your hope is not in anything on this earth. You're citizens in heaven. Our pastor preaches to us a lot. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Do you realize that? In a physical body, this is your home and this is where you're going to lie. But in a spiritual realm, when you've been born again, as it says in John chapter 3, when you've been born again, your citizenship is in heaven. "For our conversation is in heaven, and from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And what's he going to do? He's going to change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Are you putting your hope in your physical body, or are you putting your hope in Jesus Christ? I asked you that this morning. And I wrote some of these right here down. Jamie, you're not what Satan says you are. Jamie, you've been born again. Now put your name in that place if you've been born again. You are what? You are a citizen of heaven. Wow! Isn't that where we all want to be? Is heaven. You are a child of the King. You will have a new body. Do you ever, I think, you know, they talk about computers, you reboot them or whatever, restart them, whatever. It's like a lot of times, I gotta reboot this up here, that all that trash would go away. And now we're going to talk a little bit about that tree of life. Revelation chapter 2, I'm about done. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, "He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of that tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now think about where that tree was at, where Adam and Eve were created, where our physical beings all began, was in the presence of God. And for us to be able to enjoy or to sup with the tree of life, where do we got to be? In the presence of God. So how do we get there? How do we get there, people? We can't get there in our physical state. We will not do it. We've got to go through Jesus Christ. We've got to go by the cross. We've got to go through the precious blood of the Lamb that was sacrificed on that tree right there one day, that these vile bodies could have the hope of being changed into a perfect, renewed body in the presence of the Lord, and we will be able to sup on the tree of life in the paradise of God. And here's one more in closing. Verse 21, chapter 21, verse 27. And there in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There is not a physical name in that book, but it is full of spiritual names. Where is your name? Do not let your identity be recognized from a physical aspect. I used to want people to look at me, hey, yeah, he played for Dotson Dexter. He played with them coaches. You know, he's in good company. Well, I had a great time, but what did it get me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do you want to be when people see your identity, they say, I think he's a Christian. That's what it's about right there. Set aside what the world wants you to be or want you to think what you want to be. Be a Christian. Have hope in being a Christian.